accolades.
We're not our eagles.
No. Hey, everybody. Thanks for being here. We are here for Growing with NTI. And, well, we usually start with a prayer. I'm trying to see if I got one in me. Yeah, I mean, the prayer for me is the same as it always is, and that is that we would, get out of the way so that we can teach what it is that we need to learn, and we'll keep doing it until we get it right.
Amen.
Amen. Oh, shoot. All right. So, we are on page 288 of NTI. We're ready to begin NTI, 1 Corinthians chapter 2. And do you have anything you want to talk about before we go?
I'm an empty shell.
Well, I will say before we go that I've had kind of a weird day, and that I think I got some stuff percolating.
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 Perk on.
So we'll see if any of that perks up tonight while we teach. But let's get into the reading. Yes, page 288. Okay. NTI, 1 Corinthians chapter 2. As an empty shell, you are filled by me. As an empty shell, you witness the reason that is your own.
What? You w
You
witness it?
witness the reason that is your own.
I don't understand that statement.
Well, and actually, we read this last week, and we sometimes back up a little bit so that we can start at a logical starting point. And when I read it last week, I thought that it could be read one of two ways. As an empty shell, you witness the reason that is your own. Lay down yourself in service to me that you may serve me and come to know yourself. So,
So that's the reason.
well, actually, what I think it's talking about is when you become the empty shell, when you're no longer grasping those things that would help you maintain that false self. When you become the witness, you get to see the difference between your own reasoning and following the will of inner spirit.
Divinity, yeah.
Yeah,
Okay.
so it's just saying you become the
So,
witness of the silly crap that you pull, of the what you're believing and what you're doing, I think.
yeah. Okay.
Right?
All right, yeah, sounds good.
Okay. Yeah. Hey, Meg. That which is revealed to you as you lay yourself aside and willingly become as an empty shell is also revealed to the mind. That which is revealed to the mind is useful in the healing of God's holy Son. In laying yourself aside and willingly becoming as a shell, you offer yourself to be used in holiness. That to which you offer yourself is that which you are. In laying yourself aside as an offering of grace to holiness, holiness in its grace is offered fully to you. Yeah, so I mean, it just seems to be saying that as you witness, as you witness your conditioned responses and what it is that you're believing, all of that, as you witness, that becomes helpful to your healing because, of course, you see it, then you can let it go. You can see what you're being driven by.
Right, so everything becomes a part of your barometer, your spiritual unfoldment.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That which has opened itself to the Spirit of God by becoming as an empty shell has made a statement unto the mind that is its own. It has said, I know I am not this thing I thought I was, as this thing cannot be my truth. So I put aside that which is false, that I may be open to receive only that which is true. When that which is false is put aside, and that which is true is received and accepted, the mind listens to its truth. In its own memory, it recognizes itself. Unto itself, it bids itself welcome. I have heard a couple of folks say recently that you don't, something about you don't remember who you are. How could you remember who you are? But it makes sense to me. I mean, and particularly having had that experience that you and I have talked about before, where you go, oh, I remember. I'm not this puny little self. I'm something grander than that. So my experience has been that indeed you do remember. You do, and it feels like a memory. Oh, yeah, that's right. I mean, we've talked about this, right, Connie?
Yeah. Yeah, and I'm just thinking about that from the other perspective, because I remember hearing David Hoffmeister talk about, you know, at the very, you know, the being like the prongs on the ladder. And when you get to the final step, the ladder disappears and it's all gone, and there's no memory of the illusion, this.
Right, I heard him talk about that too. You don't sit around going, remember that time when we...
exactly.
Well, not being on the final prong, however, this is, it's the idea of a memory. Your memory, let's see, what does it say about memory? In its own memory, it recognizes itself, capital S, self. Unto itself, it bids itself welcome. So,
yeah, because there's nobody else to bid welcome to. It's just itself, right?
Right.
Yeah, and I have heard more than once that with this comes inklings of your remembrance of God, your remembrance of being one with God.
Yeah.
That there's some memory there. I think the Course even admonishes you, you know, think about it. You'll
remember.
You'll remember. I sat with that a little bit and I go, no, I don't think so.
All right. Well, NTI, 1 Corinthians chapter 3 wants us to remember something else. It says, remember that the ego is still in your mind.
Yeah.
And be aware of it. In that way, you may remember to set that self aside and open up to the true self. Practice will seem necessary before you are ready to set yourself aside and not pick it back up again.
You think?
And again, you know, you got a note here that it says practice will seem necessary. Again, you've got those non-dual teachers that go, practice? We don't need practice. What are you going to practice, being yourself? But this says practice will seem necessary before you are ready to set yourself aside and not pick it back up again. Do not worry. I will give you your opportunities to practice as you are willing. Boy, I must be the poster child of willingness. I got lots of opportunities to practice. So be willing to set yourself aside. As much as you are willing, I will give you circumstances for practice.
Circumstances?
Is that what these are called?
Circumstances, is that what you call it? Oh my God.
Walk with me in your desire to practice, and I shall walk with you. According to your willingness, you shall be given opportunities to practice, as everything that is done for you by your willingness. Your willingness to practice will match with your brother's willingness to learn. So he may be brought to you, and you will be given your opportunity to practice.
Hey, you had that experience today, didn't you? He came right up to you and said, "What do I need to do that for?"
Yeah, I mean, how interesting this is. It's like, oh, you mean I brought this on my side? It's just interesting. What it's really doing is showing us that you have the opportunity to choose again, right? I mean, you can see it as, oh my God, this is my cross to bear. This is how, you know, difficult my life seems this week. Or you can go, yippee, another opportunity to practice.
Yeah, it's kind of like the movie we were talking about last night is things are brought to you for you to undo.
That's right.
The seeming
for you to wake up.
Yeah.
They're brought to you so they're going, wake up, wake up, wake up, wake up.
Right, here you go. Here's another chance. Here's another chance. Here's another chance. Okay, rest a moment. Here's another chance. As you're going, I'm willing. I'm ready to remember God.
Again, your willingness to practice will match with your brother's willingness to learn, so he may be brought to you, and you will be given your opportunity to practice. In this way, everyone is given by me according to his willingness. And the light that reaches into the mind is received through the mind's own willingness to receive it. Yeah, well, and that's the thing. If you're going to bother to bring this stuff to you that seems difficult or irritating or whatever it is, you need to take advantage of that opportunity, because as this say, the light will reach your mind.
How much practice do you want, dumbass?
Through the mind's own willingness to receive it. So, you know, you've called these circumstances up. So that you can practice, so that you can wake up. It's like pushing the elevator button, and then when the elevator gets there, you go, no, I'm not getting on.
Who called that for?
Right? So that's what these things have been called forth for. And therefore, if they're there, you should take advantage of the opportunity.
Yeah, and of course, a lot of us, or maybe I should say myself, see this stuff in hindsight. You know, I know you on Sunday. You
after go, the elevator door's already closed.
Yeah. Oh, shoot, I should have got on. Well, but you know, for example, in your Sunday sermon, you told the story about how I used and abused that woman that called for the donation. But, you know, and I'm sorry that when she called, I wasn't over myself. I was in my business mode thinking I was somebody. And gave her a hard time, which is, you know, the ego just says horrible, and you're a horrible, horrible person. But maybe the next person that calls for that donation, I don't have to do that again. Now we want to take bigger steps than that. I realize.
Well, maybe, no, I mean you take it as it's given.
Yeah, you take it as it's given, but what's given is here is. You know, Regina's tips, you know, you want to treat everybody with that kindness. That's who I am as a son of God, not a business person. Right?
Yeah, but I think you make...
Kind of got off on that.
I think you make a good point, because, you know, that's part of the practice. I mean, if you're learning to, I don't know, playing hopscotch is what came in my mind, you know, and you don't throw the rock far enough the first time, next time you throw it a little bit further, and maybe you'll make that goal on the hopscotch board, right? So, I mean, it is practice. You learn how hard you have to throw the rock to get it there. So
yeah, I want to throw it in football field links, but I feel like I'm throwing it. I think I'm throwing it to the next concrete block.
well, maybe we better work with what we've got, right? And just so the next person that calls, I mean, surely. And you guys may have heard the story, and I don't know that we necessarily want to go into it, but surely the next person from a charity calls, this story will be in your mind, and you will stop and treat them like a person. Sorry.
I think you've detained me to my audience.
But right?
Yeah. Oh, sure. Oh, sure.
I mean, that will be in your mind, that same scenario. Then when that same scenario presents itself, then you're gonna go.
And I know this extends to other places, and you know, and I'm seeing it more and more in my driving, because I have issues with people driving. But you know, if you're offended, who is it that's offended, right? I mean, there's
Right.
no you to be offended. So, there's no you to be the business owner. Yeah, it's you're either the empty shell experiencing the divine coming through, or you're nothing. You're
Or yeah, you're some character that you've made up, and now you've
Yeah,
got to play that role.
some suffering, miserable character. Exactly. Thank you for listening.
Hey, Kathy. Okay. All right, we are NTI 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verses 10 through 15. Your willingness is also the measure of your joy, for in willingness you serve your true desire. In resistance you deny it. To
That's
lay
what I was
your
saying.
Fair enough. To lay yourself aside is to give willingness to let go of false illusion.
Exactly.
To cling to yourself and your thoughts and your fears is to cling to illusion and hold on to what you do not want.
No wonder I have that paragraph starred. Yeah, so yeah, if you think there's somebody that should be respected on the road, or somebody that should be respected as a business person, you know, you are clinging to your small self, to your thoughts, and to your fears, right? You're clinging to those illusions, and hold on what you don't want to hold on to.
I mean, yeah, it's all about building that false self, certainly from that perspective.
And clinging and holding on to it.
Yeah.
And that's misery.
Yeah, we know that. We know that much. So I'd like to take a minute here to talk about my percolation. I'm experiencing a little bit of frustration. You know, I bought that house out there in Colorado, and I have this condo here, and another house that I own here or over in Kentucky. And it seems like it was, you know, the plan is for me to go back to Colorado and work more closely with Regina and take over more and more of the administrative stuff. And it seems like that plan was laid for me. I mean, the way it came together with me buying the house and everything and all that, it just seemed like a perfect setup. It's like, oh, okay, all right, Holy Spirit, great, yeah, I'll do that, and I'll do that, and I'll do that. And now it seems like, you know, we're halfway through this plan. I was telling Connie earlier, it feels like I'm hanging over a lava pit, and there's no branch coming in to save me. You know, there's no the next step does not seem to be appearing. You know. You know, I could go into ugly details. You know, there's no money in the bank account. The mortgage will be due again soon. Oh, like day after tomorrow. Now that we mention it. And it just I just kind of feel like, you know, okay, so where's the next step? I'm really not seeing it. And I'm also really beginning to look at this idea of non-duality, you know, where it's like, I'm not quite sure at this point that there's somebody out there with a master plan. You know, in a dualistic view of God, the universe, and me, it's comforting to think there's somebody out there that does have a plan. Right? You know, even if it's not my plan, there's a plan. And that all things work together for my good. I mean, that's what A Course in Miracles tells us, right? But I'm really, frankly, really, really struggling with that idea at this point because I'm just not seeing it right now. I'm not saying I'm not seeing this plan as it applies to me. I'm saying I'm just struggling with how that works. You know, because it's not like there's a benevolent force out there, and that if I'm good enough, if I can place myself, you know, in alignment with this force, then, you know, everything turns out rosy, peachy king, right? I mean, I was like I was telling Connie earlier, maybe what that means is that, you know, as you're a Skid Row, that's what I was trying to think of. Maybe when you find yourself on Skid Row, you're just really, really peaceful. Right? I mean, maybe that's what awakening is. It's just it's just a little bit different. I'm just working my way through that right now. And certainly Regina has talked about her true desire, and as a scribe of this book, it talks about your true desire, speaking presumably to Regina. And of course, what Regina's prayer was, show me the truth. I don't even care if I don't like it. Just show me the truth. I just want to know the truth. So somehow in here it seems like, surprise, the truth is there's only you. Good luck. So I don't mean to sound disillusioned. Or illusioned. But it's just so when I read this paragraph, I'm reading it through, you know, that's kind of I'm just working my way through those notions. And so with that in mind, I'm just going to read this paragraph again and see what it says now. So all my cards are on the table. It says, your willingness is also the measure of your joy, for in willingness you serve your true desire. In resistance, you deny it. To lay yourself aside is to give willingness to let go of false illusion. To cling to yourself and your thoughts and your fears is to cling to illusion and to hold on to what you do not want. I mean, I just think that that's just super ripe for what's going on here. You know, the false illusion is that there again that there's little on me and there's this benevolent God who is going to reward me if I work hard enough and do the right things. I mean, you know, Regina had a tip this week that talked about, most people see God's will that way. Frankly, I don't know exactly how she said it, but they
Got to
think,
earn God's.
well, that they see God's will means they get not everything they want, but you know, things work out pretty good for them. You know, if I align myself with God's will, and that's not
We won the war because we were in God's favor.
right, exactly. Yeah, that's the way most of us have seen this up till now, and you know, on an intellectual level, I would have told you that's crazy. I know better than that. But I think that on some real deep level, and I think that's what's percolating, on some real deep level, that's the assumption that I've been working under. I mean, sure, who couldn't trust, right? If you know that, you know, jackal in the body, right? Maybe even jackal in the personality. It's gonna prevail in the end. Yay! Right? She's not gonna go hungry. She's not gonna do without. Right? So, you know, and the truth is, and maybe this is percolating up from that set song that I did with Suze Wicks, where for the first time ever, I think I got the opening lines of A Course in Miracles, where it says, nothing, y'all know what it says. But let me look it up so I don't say it right. Nothing real can be threatened. Nothing unreal exists. And I always, frankly, saw that in a dualistic manner. Nothing real can be threatened. Nothing unreal exists. I'm like, all right. I wasn't placing myself within that statement. So I was like, I'm real. Nothing out there can bother me, right? Nothing unreal. But the real point is, okay, dear, you actually belong in the second category. Nothing unreal exists. So what is there that could be threatened? And can the body of Jacqueline be threatened? No question about it. No question. Can my whatever be threatened? Can my livelihood? Can my whatever? I mean, whatever the attributes that a body possess, a body mind personality possesses. Can all of that be threatened? You bet your ass it can. Right? But the essence of what I am,
Will always be
will
for eternity.
always be for eternity. That's what can't be threatened.
Right.
So that kind of, I mean, and it's like, I'm sure, dear listeners, you're going, is she just now getting that?
No. No, I think most of us find ourselves in that same thing of seeing never worry because you're in the first category. But it's like you and I've talked about so many times, we're coming from the foundation of looking at it from the ego's perspective instead of looking at it from divine perspective.
Yeah, even when you're telling yourself you're doing something else.
Yes.
Yeah.
Right. So yeah. Is it going to make a hill of beans to divinity or 100 years or however you want to look at that? Whether you make this next mortgage payment,
Yeah. Or whether I go into bankruptcy or whether I get in a car wreck on the way over there to check in the house and die. Is any of that going to make a difference? No.
And some would say, basically it's a good it's a benevolent universe. Sometimes that's a little hard to look at too. You look at the people in Syria and those places, but the divine true self, yeah, I don't think we have to worry about. But does that
But in
doesn't
the
help you?
meantime, back at the farm.
Doesn't necessarily help you pay the mortgage.
That's right. That's right. It doesn't necessarily help you pay the mortgage. So anyway, so thanks for listening to my rant. What I will say that what the text of Holy Spirit's interpretation of the New Testament and what the text of A Course in Miracles and what apparently the masters are saying is that the one thing that's guaranteed is peace and joy. Again, that may mean peace as you're laying on Skid Row. And I tend to be extremist, so I know I'm being overly dramatic here, but but it doesn't mean necessarily. It may mean that your circumstances. We used to have this discussion with Dad all the time, right? Change your mind, and it may change the world around you. But as Regina points out, with the code, you're not only dealing with your own input into consciousness, but you're dealing with the collective input of all of the little entities seemingly running around on this planet. They also input into collective consciousness. So my direct outer experience may or may not change, but what's guaranteed to change is my perspective on it, is my ability
Exactly.
to be at peace with it.
Exactly. Yeah. Yeah. You don't control the world you see. You find happiness because you know the truth of who you are. Because you know the truth of who you are, because that is guaranteed. And unless if we're experiencing that, then there isn't any suffering. You're
No.
experiencing the joy. If we still see it as a promise, something outside of us, something to be attained,
Earned.
earned, come on, by the grace of God, give that to me,
Right.
then we see it as painful. You know, the course says if pain is real, then God is not.
Kathy writes, the full realization of your true identity, your master pattern, does not suddenly burst upon you until the seed of truth has been planted, nourished, cherished, and allowed to mature to ripeness.
Yeah, but that can happen in a minute. You can be sitting on a park bench and have that, as Eckhart did, or Byron Katie did in a second. Or we can struggle with this. So and I think it comes back to that whole willingness thing. It's and what this is talking about here. It's a practice until it's not.
Right. Okay.
We'll help you with the mortgage.
This has been you a message from release yourself to joy. Give to yourself, capital S. Give to yourself by laying your small s self aside.
Yeah, there you go. Yeah, so, yeah. What is important to you?
Yeah.
It would seem like paying the mortgage is important, but that's not your real importance. That's what that beginning statement is, right?
Yeah.
Okay.
Sure. Yeah, that sounds good.
Okay. And I've had the same thought. I mean, these people that are being bombed and stuff, it would be terribly difficult for them to be studying the Course in Miracles.
Right, and of course that's what Gangaji said. Look how, be grateful that you've been incarnated in this existence where you have the luxury to even think about these higher thoughts, where you're not scrambling for food or wondering how you're going to keep yourself from being killed or,
Right.
yeah.
Mortar shells coming through your home, right?
Right.
Exactly.
Release yourself to joy. Give to yourself by laying yourself aside. In this way, you will remember more of that which you want, and your willingness to give of yourself will grow. Remember your true self as I have taught it to you. You are eternal and beyond limits of any kind. And then notice your awareness as it seems to be you. If you do not know yourself as limitless and beyond all fear, you maintain a belief that you are what you are not. Therefore, do not take off in your way, as your way is still illusion. Follow my way that you may be led from illusion. I don't know who I am or what I need, but by God, I got the reins. I'm in control here. Follow my way that you may be led from illusion. Then, when you know no more limits upon you shall also know what is limitless. which means that you have again learned to remember yourself.
You maintain a belief that you are what you are not. Yeah, I mean, it's a promise until it's not, until it's your it's it, until it's your reality, and that is the argument we had with Dad. Is it a perceived reality or is it reality? But all reality in the form is a perceived reality.
Right. I agree.
Right. So in the perceived reality right now, it appears that you're having a hard time making your mortgage, right? But that's not reality.
Right. I agree.
Thank God, right?
That was my thought. Yeah. So, again, if you do not know yourself as limitless and beyond all fear, you maintain a belief that you are what you are not. Yeah, it's still, who are you identifying with? What are you identifying with? I'm identifying with this body mind personality that needs to make a mortgage payment. And no wonder I'm afraid, right?
Yeah, because that's because your perception makes you afraid, or you're afraid because of your perception, or however you want to say it, right?
Right. Which is, just a further investment in that belief system.
Yes.
You're feeding it. You're feeding it.
Right.
And it's not the truth of who you are, so stop it.
Stop it.
Just stop it. I don't know about that, Cheryl. Cheryl says you are wealthy and perfectly cared for. Well, yeah. Yeah, I mean, again, I think that goes back to that fundamental sentence from A Course in Miracles, right? Nothing real can be threatened. Great, my spirit's going to be just so happy as it watches me go to the poorhouse. I mean, I don't think that there's a, that's, that's exactly the crux of the issue for me right now is I've absolutely felt that way about, but I've been applying it to the wrong, to the body mind personality. I don't know that this body mind personality won't die destitute. I really don't. I mean, how would I know that? And what does it matter? I mean, that's what's being said here. It doesn't matter. You're protecting the wrong one if you're even if that's where your mind is,
You can
you
see
worry
how
about
you're
the wrong
suffering with
thing.
that.
Yeah.
Yeah. So if your mind was focused or in joy because you know who the truth of you is, if that was your focus, then
And it's what Cheryl's saying here too. Wealthy in love, gratitude, fellowship, etc. Yeah.
yeah.
Yeah. I mean, woohoo! The whole thing's a playground at that point.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah, good. Then, when you know no more limits upon you, you shall also know what is limitless, which means that you have again learned to remember yourself. Amen. Okay, NTI 1 Corinthians chapter 4. This is on page 290 of NTI. As a servant of mine, you will learn things that will bring you great joy. They will seem to be revealed to you, so you will know they are my gifts to you. What is revealed to you is revealed for you and for everyone. For when it is revealed to you, it is also communicated to everyone through communication to the one mind that you share. Yeah, you learn it for everybody, right?
Right.
Because there's one mind. Do not judge yourself for what you believe are your shortcomings, Connie. I'm sorry. Do not judge yourself for what you believe are your shortcomings. Remember that you are practicing to be one with me, through your own decision to accept our oneness as your only truth. Because you still listen to the ego and believe it is you, you will seem to make mistakes in your own perception.
See, and that's what I think what's going on. I mean, it's a mistaken perception, right? That's what we were trying to say. Where's your focus?
That's all, yeah.
It's a mistaken perception if we're focusing on the form, right?
Right, right. Exactly. But there are no real mistakes since there is only truth, which does not change, and illusion, which isn't reality. Therefore, when you believe you have made a mistake, turn to me. Ask me to use your perception for your learning. In this way, you open yourself for another thought of mine to be revealed.
There you go.
Maybe you better read it to me again so I hear it. Read it.
Therefore, when you believe you made a mistake, turn to me. Ask me to use your perception for your learning. In this way, you open yourself for another thought of mine to be revealed to you. In this way, you use everything within your experience as an opportunity to practice opening as an empty shell.
Yeah, and you know, and we talked about that on Sunday, that you know, if I'm not attached to Jacqueline as a homeowner, Jacqueline as someone with a bank account, I mean, whatever it is, right? And who knows how much stuff's wrapped up in that. Jacqueline is, she can't be a good spiritual teacher. I saw her down in bankruptcy court last week. Right? So who knows how, you know, how all of those personas are wrapped up with each other. But by turning it over to see the misperception and turn it over, then you can once it's identified as a misperception, you can turn it over and say, okay, I'm ready. I'm ready to see what I'm supposed to see in this. What am I supposed to see in this? And become the empty shell without, because you can't do it. You know, it's like, I'm thinking of the monkey with his hand in the jar, right? The monkey puts his hand in the jar to grab the peanuts, and he makes a fist. And because he's got a fist full of peanuts, he can't pull his hand out of the jar. So, if you're hanging on to the false personality with your fears, with your worries, with whatever's going on, you can't pull your hand out of that jar, right? You can't be filled up if your
right.
hand's already full.
You can't see the problem within the problem.
Yeah.
You can't solve the problem within the problem.
Yeah. You can't even see it within the
right.
problem. Yeah. Yeah. You can't give it over for healing.
Right. Well, yeah, you have to let it go in order to have it solved.
Yeah. Yeah. So one more time, this paragraph. We like it. Therefore, when you believe you have made a mistake, turn to me. Ask me to use your perception for your learning. In this way, you open yourself for another thought of mine to be revealed. In this way, you use everything within your experience as an opportunity to practice opening as an empty shell.
Use everything in your experience as an opportunity, not to solve the problem, but to change your perception as the empty shell.
Yeah, to change your perception to let go of the whatever persona you're clinging to, right?
Right? As homeowner or
whatever it is.
Or whatever it is.
Yeah. And it's an opportunity to practice opening as an empty shell. When you do not forget and you remember to be an empty shell in service to me, be grateful to me and to yourself. In this way, you recognize that we are one. Do not make the mistake of believing that an empty shell is something other than me. It is not. It is only me. This is possible because it is an empty shell and no one else.
I'm not sure I got that.
Well, I think it's saying the same thing that we've been saying. It's really saying, you know, how we've been taught to go, Holy Spirit, I can't do this anymore, take it. Well, we haven't really been taught to do it that way, although many of us practice it that way. But it's like, it's like it says in here in Hebrews, it's like nobody, guess what? Again, there's only you. There's nobody's going to come, no benevolent parent figure is going to come in here and save you. When you become the empty shell, you are one with me. Because I am me, capital M, me from NTI, because I am the empty shell. I'm just like, you know, again, like Jesus says in the Course, right? I just have, you know, you and I are alike. I just have nothing else, all right, right? We both have everything that comes from God. I just have nothing else. We have all the something else's that he's talking about. We have this belief that I'm a mother, I'm a wife, I'm a mortgage, you know, I'm a homeowner, am I the mortgagee or the mortgage? Anyway, you get it, right? But, you know, I have all these personas, all these beliefs about who I am that have filled this shell up. And so now we're emptying the shell, right? So when you get to the bottom, you get to the bottom, if you will, you get to the empty shell. And the empty shell is all that is, right? It's just you've had all these blockages blocking you from seeing that. But it's basically saying the same thing that Jesus said in A Course in Miracles. We're really no different. You just got all that crap in the way. Right?
Yeah.
Therefore, do not praise your brother or yourself apart from me or my word as it is shared. Thank your brother for being a shell, and be grateful that you remembered to put yourself aside. But thank me for my word. In that way, you acknowledge what is real for its reality, and you thank that which isn't real for recognizing its unreality and for getting out of the way of truth. And again, it's saying the same thing. Your brother is a container, a shell, right? Just like you are. And he may or may not have emptied the contents of that shell yet. But you still recognize your brother for being the same as me and you and anybody else that's ever lived.
Right.
Yeah. And then you also thank yourself for unloading enough of your crap that you can see that. I am with you to bring back the memory of who you are. With me, you shall remember, because you recognize yourself in me. Do not make the mistake of forgetting who I am when you do know. I am you. I am your truth. When you forget to remember what you know, you pretend to be what you are not.
A mortgage holder.
When you pretend to be what you are not, you believe what you think. And you think you are different from that which you are.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. And when you pretend to be what you're not, a mortgage holder, you believe what you think. You believe you're in debt.
And believe that there's going to be hell to pay one way
right.
or another, right?
Right, yeah. and you think you're different than that which you are. You think you're a mortgage holder instead of the Holy Son of God.
Dumbass. I ask you to lay your thinking aside. And with it, you lay aside all pretending that isn't the truth. Now, this is the... I mean, that's pretty clear. Lay your thinking aside, because it's the thinking, as we've discovered, is the thinking that we do that supports all this, these BS ideas about what we're not, right? I mean, that's where the grief comes from.
Exactly. There's where the suffering is.
Yeah. That's where the suffering is. I ask you to lay your thinking aside. And with it, you lay aside all pretending that isn't truth. So, you know, like Eckhart Tolle said, we talked about on Sunday, stillness is consciousness without thought. I ask you to be consciousness without thought. Be still and know I am God. Again, I ask you to lay your thinking aside, and with it, you lay aside all pretending that isn't truth. This is to make yourself an empty shell. An empty shell is not the absence of you. An empty shell is the absence of delusion, which you are not.
That's good. I mean, that's kind of good to hear, right?
Yeah, because we think we let go of the personas, we die.
Yeah.
Yeah.
An empty shell, what is that? It's just,
who wants to be that?
Yeah, it's just something holding something that isn't me.
Right?
Or something holding nothing that isn't me.
Right, exactly. Yeah.
Yeah, so it's nice to hear that that's not the absence of you. It's the absence of the delusion, which you're not. It's the absence of the false self concept.
Yeah.
Exactly. It's the absence of the suffering.
Yeah. Yeah, because those go hand in hand. In the clarity of your emptiness, free from the delusion of false thoughts, you are free to hear your real thoughts. These are the thoughts that you recognize as me.
Sweet.
That is sweet. Cheryl says, paying my mortgage is practical, just doesn't define who you are. Sure, yeah. I am not coercive upon you because I am your truth. Because I am your truth, I am eternal, and I am now. Therefore, I can wait in peace and patience for you to recognize me. I ain't going nowhere. I can wait as long as you seem to be willing to wait. But know this. Even your desire to wait comes from the delusion that you are what you are not.
Yeah. Why would I wait?
And continue to suffer and continue to need and want and grasp. And
unless I thought I was something that didn't need that.
Or couldn't have it.
Or couldn't have it.
Yeah. Yeah.
Or didn't want it.
Right.
Which is all delusion.
Yes. Therefore, in choosing not to be an empty shell, you're choosing to believe delusion over truth. The truth is as it is, as it cannot be anything else. But you are choosing to believe that the truth is what it isn't. So you may continue the experience of that which is untrue.
You're choosing to believe that the truth is what it isn't.
So you can continue to have this experience. It's a choice. It's just a choice. All right. Folks, we have a few minutes left.
Yeah, this is it. This is the whole thing, choose again, isn't it? And yeah. that's where the course came from, choose again.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, yeah.
And the miracle of the course came out of these two people deciding to choose again. This can't be.
Right.
This misery that we seem to have is not the truth of us, so let's choose again.
So let's choose again, yeah. Yeah, and the Course puts it, you know, Course in Miracles puts it very simply. You can choose to think the thoughts of the ego or think the thoughts of God. And this is saying, in essence, the same. This is, however, saying, you know what? It's just being real clear about. I ask you to lay your thinking aside. To lay your thinking aside is to be, this is to make yourself an empty shell. I ask you to lay your thinking aside, and with it you lay aside all pretending that isn't truth. This is to make yourself an empty shell. And again, down here at the bottom, therefore, in choosing not to be an empty shell, you're choosing to believe delusion over truth. It is a choice. It's a choice whether or not to listen to your thoughts and believe your thoughts and participate in your thoughts. And that's a choice you're welcome to make, but be aware that you're making a choice.
And one you're not going to be happy with.
And ultimately one you're not going to be happy with, no question. All right, guys. We love you, and we appreciate the opportunity to be here with you and share with you. Sure, we did Corinthians chapter 2 through Corinthians chapter, all of chapter 4. So.